Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, this is the song we were talking about yesterday with Rami Levy.
Yeah.
Lights go down in Massachusetts. Or however you pronounce that state up there in New England. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is Featured Artist Friday. It's the Bee Gees. I told you their catalog is much more vast than just Saturday Night Fever. And we're going to tap into as much of it as we possibly can. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles made a trade yesterday afternoon. Surprised some people. I'm sure satisfied most Oriole fans, at least on paper, and here to talk about that. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. By the way, we're at Jones Bel Air Nissan, where we've already sold seven cars. And why aren't you in one of them?
Right. Danielle's here filling out the paperwork with JJ as we speak.
Damn right, Danielle. Get it done. We'll get it right for you. But let's talk about that trade. And bring him in from BaltimoreBaseball.com. He's our buddy Rich Dubroff. Rich, good morning. What's happening?
Well, good morning. It's Featured Artist Friday, and here the Orioles were keeping fans' hopes, you know, staying alive.
I
like that, Rich Dubroff. All right, Cole Irvin comes over last 2 years, averaged 180 innings, not exactly a Frank Tanana fastball, but he doesn't give up a lot of home runs, doesn't walk a lot of dudes. What is he? And he's relatively cheap for the next few years. Exactly what is Cole Irvin bringing to the equation at Camden Yards starting in 2023?
Well, he's going to be the only, you know, he's going to be for the foreseeable future until John Means gets back, the only left-hander in the rotation, which is very important. The Orioles didn't have a left-hander in the rotation. He's a guy who eats innings, sort of in the Jordan Lyles mode. But, you know, his WAR last year was 2.0, and Lyles was 0.7, and Kyle Gibson, who they also signed, was 1.0. So I think he's going to give, you know, he's going to give the bullpen a break, which is really important, and because the Orioles have to look at closely monitor the innings with a lot of these younger pitchers, you know, Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish, Tyler Wells, Grayson Rodriguez, D.L. Hall. You know, none of them have been through a full major league season. In the case of Rodriguez, you know, not even in the major league. So, you know, having an innings eater is very, very important. Having a left-hander is important. And he's, you know, he's not a strikeout guy. He's not a big strikeout guy, but he's got a really good control pitcher.
Now, as we look at the way the rotation is put together, at least the candidates for it, two-parter, are they done looking for starting pitchers? Two, if we're putting together a five-man now, and we'll throw in, you know, certainly Grayson Rodriguez and some of the younger guys, D.L. Hall, how would you handicap it as we're 19 days away from pitchers and catchers?
Yeah, I think that they are done with, you know, with acquiring pitchers. But, you know, Michael Wacha's still out there, which is certainly interesting. But I think that they are acquired because they have an awful lot of candidates. And if you're, you know, as the Bee Gees say, if, you know, when the lights come on in Massachusetts for opening day on
March
30th.
Check out old Rich Dubroff.
if they fail, it'll be a tragedy.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. I don't know who'll be the opening day starter. But for now, I would have Gibson number one because of experience, Irvin number two, because I think the Orioles would be loath to start him on opening day in Fenway. You know, if he were start, you know, if the opener was in Baltimore, that may be. But then I would go for, Kramer number three, Bradish number four, and maybe Rodriguez number five right now. I don't know. I mean, I think that they're going to be moving starters in and out of the rotation, you know, because Rodriguez's innings are going to have to be monitored. DL Hall's innings are going to have to be monitored. Austin Both is also in that equation. And whether they put Tyler Wells, you know, in the bullpen is an interesting question. So I think you're going to see, maybe 9 or 10 regular starters for the Orioles during this season. Maybe DL Hall doesn't start the season with him. But comes in later.
In regards to grading the trade, because everyone wants instant analysis, Orioles did deal from a position of strength within the farm system. How would you grade it today?
I'd grade it pretty high because Darryl Hernandez was a really good prospect, but he was he had a lot of guys in front of him in getting a shot. I mean, Gunnar Henderson's already there. Joey Ortiz is on the roster. Jordan Westberg is almost there. Connor Norby, Kobe Mayo, they're all ranked ahead of him. And that's a really good sign for the Orioles that they were able to deal somebody who I think is going to be a good major league player because they had better players, and that's a really good thing for them. And then they're accumulating all these starters. And so maybe, in July, if Mike Elias decides that there is a real position to need, he's got another strength to trade from, as well as the infield, and also there are a number of promising outfielders too. So really interesting time here.
Hey Rich, you sound congested and stuff. I hope you're staying alive.
I am staying alive. Yeah, I'm getting over an upper respiratory thing here, Robert.
Do you have any night fever? we can do this all day.
hey Rich, what about, how do you see them now going in, to pitchers and catchers, roughly 2 weeks away? Where do you see them sitting in the division?
I think that they're going to be competitive. I think this trade helps. A lot of fans are disappointed that they didn't get, any big names, but I think that these acquisitions were, very, very useful for them. Getting Adam Frazier and Michael Givens and James McCann. I think this all helps. I think that they will be, very competitive. The bullpen has to be as good as it was last year, or maybe almost as good. But I think the starting rotation will be better than it was last year. So with full years from Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson, I think that this team should, certainly be a contender for a playoff spot.
Hey, Rich, when you go down to spring training, what, like the first day you go down there and you look at the guys, because I used to love to, when the freshmen would come in or the guys that come back for their second year, just to see how their bodies changed and stuff. What are you looking forward to when you go down to spring training, when the first day that you see all the players?
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting, Gibson and meeting Carl Irvin. We've only seen them on Zoom so far. And I want to see what they, how they're like. And also, next weekend we're going to, see some of the guys because we have the Birdland Caravan. So we'll get to see some of the veterans. I think just seeing Henderson and Rutschman a year older to see what they're like. It's just really interesting because over the last few years we'd always think, oh well, who's going to be in the starting rotation? Where are they going to come up with guys? And now it looks like for the most part they have you know, they have too many, which, you know, which is a good thing. But, of course, there are always injuries.
Rich Dubroff, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com?
Well, we have off-season coverage of the Orioles. We'll be covering the caravan. And before you know it, we'll be talking down in Sarasota.
Rich, always appreciate the time. I hope you feel better because, as Vinny said, you sound a little nasally. But enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week sometime.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around, what happened in the world of sports last night and historically on January 27th. We'll let you know. Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com, preview Maryland and Nebraska tomorrow, 4:30 tip. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. And signing day for football is next week. Does Mike Locksley have any of that Mike Locksley magic where he's going to flip some 4 stars, maybe even bring in a 5-star or 2? We'll talk about that. And then a fun house trip with the most electrifying man walking the face of the planet. That is Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney. We're live from Jones Bel Air Nissan here on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Feature Artist Friday. Championship game Friday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're live from Jones Bel Air Nissan here in Bel Air, Maryland. We're till 2 o'clock. So come out and say hello. Last night on the ice down in D.C., it was the Capitals, it was the Penguins. They renewed acquaintances, as you would figure. It went into overtime, and in the end, it was a sterling save that secured the victory.
Malkin has to score to keep the shootout going. Working it against Kemper. Malkin off the head fake, snapped it wide. Washington prevails in the shootout.
Joe Beninati, NBC Sports Washington, 3-2 final score shootout.
Yeah, Ovi got a goal in the first, you know, and Backstrom's the one that won it, you know, in the overtime. Kuzi scored in the overtime in the shootout, and then Backstrom won it. How about they stopped Crosby and Malkin got stopped in the shootout. So that was big, and the Caps picked up 2 points. Pittsburgh gets 1 point for going to overtime, so the Caps moved ahead of them by a point in the standings.
Now, as we've talked about with Washington all season long, older, getting healthier. What about Pittsburgh? Where are they right now?
They're older too. Yeah. They're older, too, with Malkin, Crosby. Yeah, they got a lot of veteran guys, too. And they'd lost, Bob, they'd lost like 5 in a row. So they've been struggling a little bit as of late, you know. So it's about injury. Now, Tom Wilson didn't play again last night, you know, after taking a slap shot in the leg. Need to get him back. So injuries are – when you got a bunch of old dudes, Bob, I mean, even like Ovi's beat up a little bit.
Sure.
You know, and he's a guy that doesn't get beat up. But, I mean, age catches up with everybody.
Capitals this Sunday at Toronto taking on the Maple Leafs. Toronto 30-11-8. They're 19-3-4 at home.
Yeah, they're good at home. They got good players, too. Marner and, you know, and they've got the Matthews is hot. That's going to be a tough one up there in Toronto, you know, for the Caps. Get a point, you know. Just get to overtime and you get a point.
NBA last night, it was the Knicks in overtime over the Celtics. 121-117, Emmanuel Quickley. Baltimore zone, John Carroll, Kentucky, of course, 17 points, 5 boards, and an assist. It was Cleveland, 113-95 over Houston. Bruno Fernando, former Terp, 4.6 rebounds, an assist, and a block shot. And Dallas beats Phoenix, 99-95. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. College hoops last night, there was one upset, USC, 77-64 over number 8, UCLA. Trojans outscored the Bruins 52-27 in the second half. Damn. UCLA was blowing them out at halftime. And then USC decided, we don't want any more of that nonsense. In the Big Ten, it was number 1, Purdue, 75-70 over Michigan. And it was Michigan State, 63-61 over Iowa. Locally, Towson beat Northeastern, 72-63. And Fairfield beat Mount St. Mary, 63-60. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan is the Whip Around here on this Featured Artist Friday, this day in sports history. Well, speaking of college basketball, 50 years ago today, UCLA blew out Notre Dame, 82-63. Bill Walton, 16 points, 15 boards, 10 blocks. How about that triple-double?
Damn.
With the win, it was UCLA's 61st consecutive win, which broke the record of 60 held by Bill Russell's San Francisco Dons of the 50s. That was a winning streak that would eventually reach 88 games. college hoops locally on that same day at Cole Fieldhouse, 1973, January 27th. Fourth-ranked Maryland beat third-ranked North Carolina, 94-88. Bill O'Brien, who looked like Bozo the Clown, or more like Larry Fine from the Three Stooges. He had, like, big red afro kind of balding on the top, but he pumped in 38 against Dean Smith as Maryland improved to 14-1 on the year. They would wind up making it to the Elite Eight that season. We mentioned Billy Packer earlier, 1979 at Cole Fieldhouse. Terps beat number one Notre Dame 67-66 on national TV with Jim Simpson, Billy Packer, Al McGuire on the call. Larry Gibson, Baltimore Dunbar, rest in peace. He had the old-fashioned three-point play with 2 seconds left to win it. Ernie Graham, Baltimore, had 28 points to lead the way. 1985 at Cole Fieldhouse. Len Bias had 30 points, 13 rebounds. Adrian Branch pumped in 16 as Maryland beat number 14 Villanova 77-74. These two teams would renew acquaintances in the Sweet 16 in Birmingham. 1985, remember, Villanova won the national championship. So again, you don't need to be Columbo to figure out who won that game. Villanova lucky in 1985. Six times. 1969, the Pittsburgh Steelers hired Baltimore Colts assistant Chuck Noll.
Really?
As their new head coach. And then a year to the day later, 1970, they picked Terry Bradshaw.
Wow.
With the first overall pick in the draft. Third round, they took a reach on a guy named Mel Blunt from Southern University. Two Hall of Famers were selected on that draft day.
I want to say Dick Haley was the GM, Bob, who's Todd Haley's dad. Dick was there for a long time in Pittsburgh.
Sure. But their first pick in 69 was Mean Joe Green.
Ooh.
And then they drafted Bradshaw. And then, you know, the one draft, 74, Stallworth, Swan, Lambert, Webster. I mean, that's still considered the greatest draft of all time. And that's your Whip Around Video at 81057 The Fan. We'll come back. Preview Maryland taking on Nebraska tomorrow. 4:30 tip down at the Xfinity Center. It's a game you can hear on The Fan. And then signing day college football next week, Wednesday, right?
Wednesday.
Maryland's class is taking leaps and bounds, but there's still some highly regarded guys out there.
I think there's a five-star out there.
Yeah, that's Maryland, South Carolina, and Michigan, I believe.
Yep.
And Keith Kavanaugh. Give us a status report there, because apparently Deion Sanders were trying to make a late push.
Yeah.
Does Primetime have any juice in regards to that recruitment? Talk about that more than it's a funhouse trip with Mr. Excitement, Nolan McGraw, here on The Fan.
Your sports information station, 1057 The Fan.
More than a woman. Bee Gees, everybody. Featured artist Friday. It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We're live from Jones Bel Air Nissan. Selling some cars, talking some sports. Come on out and say hello. We will be here till 2 o'clock, but that doesn't mean you have to stop coming at 2 o'clock. Come on out here, do a little weekend shopping, and get ready for the spring. Still plenty of winter time left, but get a jump on your friends with a brand-new car from Jones Bel Air Nissan. Terps tomorrow taking on Nebraska down at the Xfinity Center. Maryland coming off an impressive win a couple of nights ago, blowing out Wisconsin, drilling them in the second half. Here to talk about that, get a preview of what signing day could look like for Mike Loxley from TerrapinTimes.com. He's Keith Kavanaugh. Keith, what is up?
Guys, you're up in my hood. I had an excellent oil change there last month. Kudos to you. But plenty of news going on. And imminent, let's first start with some good recruiting news. The Terps are about to get a seven-footer who will announce any day now, who was in for both the last two games, unofficially and officially. Braden Pierce, 7 foot, 235. He's at IMG Prep, so he's for 23, the class of 23. A big kid, moves pretty well for his size. He's got very decent touch. He's physical, again, 7 foot, 235. Bob, a comp for you. Remember Jason Smith from The Wiz a few years back?
Oh, yeah. Still does the pregame shows.
Colorado State.
Let's hope he's not doing that for the Terps.
Yeah, so obviously they need bigs. Obviously there's not much left in the 23 class, so this was a good get. But he was at the Michigan game unofficially. He was at the Wisconsin game officially. kid who grew up playing baseball, so still kind of scratching the surface in terms of hoops, i.e. late bloomer, but he's at IMG prep. Some rate him 4 stars, some rate him 3 stars, but a lot of upside. So he should be announcing any time now on his Twitter, 30 seconds of fame, soapbox or whatever this week. So that's some good recruiting news. But what was your question again, Bob?
I didn't ask one, but thanks for starting off with some good recruiting news. Go back to the Wisconsin game. And Jameer Young's, what, 20 points for the last 5? Julian Reese, he backed up the big performance against Purdue with another solid one. And foul trouble continues to be sort of an issue there. But what have we noticed from Maryland offensively, especially at home? Because it's like a tale of two teams, winless in the road, winless on the road in league play, undefeated at home. Why the difference in performance?
I mean, it's 58-58-55. That's what Maryland's given up in the last 3 games. It starts at the defensive end. This team has clearly taken on the personality of their coach, Kevin Willard. They're relentless. They won't go away. It starts at the defensive end. He's been making great adjustments. They pushed tempo the other night. They sped up Wisconsin, forced them into a lot of turnovers. Maryland's two-man game, their half-court game, transition, clicking on all cylinders, shot 56% and then 43% from three, which you really needed. But the points in the paint, the dedicating themselves right now to playing inside out much more, not just relying on the three balls, but hitting the offensive glass, the second chance points, the 50-50 balls. So it's all coming together. And now Reese is having a little breakout here, 14.7 of 8 the other night against a 7-footer. But they negated all that size Wisconsin has between Wall and Crawl. Those guys drive me crazy. But Jameer Young has taken over the team, 22 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. He's been rebounding really well. Great to see Hakeem Hart break out and be more aggressive with his size and height and getting in there in the paint and scoring also career-high 8 assists. So they're making hay right now with this home stretch. It's got to continue tomorrow because they got these 3 in a row. But at 13-7, 4-5 right now, I think they're finding their stride. It starts again with defense, but offense has been much more fluid.
Now Nebraska comes in. They're 10-11, 3-7 in the league. Vinny and I were talking a couple of days ago. Figured by now that Fred Hoiberg would at least have them sniff in tournament status. Not the case. What can you tell us about the Cornhuskers here?
Their problem is they've had 2 starters go down with season-ending injuries in the last 2 weeks. The most recent, their guard, Bomdumel, with the knee toward Juwan Geary's already out with the shoulder. So they're down 2. Just got slobber knocked by, 15 at Northwestern. They still have some talent, and Derek Walker at 6'9", the post, was some trouble. Jamarcus Lawrence, he hit 4 threes. They hit 9 or 10 threes against Northwestern. And then Kaise Tamagai, the kid from Japan, he can play. Chateau Gesundheit. So they have some guys who can get off from 3-point range, but they've been decimated and 2 starters down in 2 weeks for the year. You don't want Maryland to look past them. You want the crowd to continue to be good. The students hall came back Monday. And then you've got Indiana Tuesday night. So, a chance here really to make strides in the league. He's using the bench more judiciously now. The stars are starting to shine again after some little mini slumps here and there. But getting contributions across the board from, 4 of the 5 starters the other night. Obviously, Donald Carey still can't throw it in the ocean. I'd like to see Martinez get some more of that run because he's more of a creator. But that switch still has not come on for Carey, who historically came in here as a good 3-point shooter. So that's really a head-scratcher still.
All right, Keith. Now, signing date's next Wednesday. Locke's usually over like this weekend and up to signing date. He usually flips, and this is when he gets 4s and 5 stars. Is it going to happen?
Well, waiting on 5-star Nicholas Harbor. He went out and saw Coach Prime this week at Colorado for his official. He's on his way to Oregon now. Now, we all know he's a 5-star All-American football player and track star. So Oregon and track scares you a little bit. I have a feeling whoever presents the greatest NIL package down the stretch here and can combine football and track for him, he's out of Archbishop Carroll. He would reject as a tight end, but he's a once-in-a-generation type athlete, jumbo athlete. So he'll be a February 1 guy. And then Andrew and Michael Harris, the four-star linebacker twins from Florida, are announcing then they're former UCF commits. So waiting on those two guys. Obviously, they picked up a few more portal offensive linemen, plug-and-play guys who will start right away next year in Bullock, Iadese, and then Doomerville. But right now, the class still 33 in the composite. The transfer class top 20, they've made some hay there. And then this weekend, hosting a bevy of top juniors, including four-star running back Dylan Jones from Good Counsel, four-star North Carolina receiver Jonathan Taylor out of Cummings, North Carolina. He has 25-plus offers already. C.J. Smith is a class of 25 linebacker from St. Francis up in here in Baltimore. But some Good Counsel guys, St. Francis guys, Gonzaga guys, a lot of juniors coming in today for unofficials. So we're waiting on February 1. Hope the class, if they can add, you know, one or two of those guys for the twins, and they're in great shape with all of them, but they got to finish. And with the NIL, you just never know what's out there and what can happen last minute. But hopefully the class can stay in top 25 to, you know, low 30 type range is pretty good. So, you know, right now coming off 7 wins last year, 8 wins this year. The projections are Maryland can be I think in top 30 for next year in the early preseason polls is a projection of 9 wins with Leah back and all. But you got to continue to fortify that offensive line in particular, which they have.
Now, Keith, what about the OC? Well, you know, who are the candidates and what are we looking at
Lox isn't touching any of that until after recruiting. You need a tight end coach to replace Miller. You need a safety coach to replace Neighbors. And you need an OC quarterback coach to replace Enos. So you've got three guys, three roles to fill. So formal interviewing and whatnot has not begun. They've got to get through recruiting. And obviously you need them in here right afterwards, get ready for spring ball and all, but nothing really is percolating up yet on that front.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com here on the Fan, on the Ashley Furniture Hotline, as a matter of fact. Keith, before we let you roll, you and I are about the same age. Billy Packer, fan or critique of his.
Yeah, rest in peace, indeed. He could be opinionated. He could be dogmatic. He could be pro tobacco road teams, but he told it like it was. And he was a classic, him and Thacker, and takes you back old tobacco road days, ACC. He told it like it is, had great analysis. Not everyone always agreed with him, but Bob, it takes me back. Yeah. You know, Vinny's a youngin', us old guys. I remember I remember the days of seeing him, Bob, at Reynolds Coliseum, which is no more, at U-Haul, which is no more, at Virginia, Carmichael at Carolina, where the ladies play, and Bob, the Omni Center. Was that what the name of it was in Atlanta, where Georgia Tech played way back in the day?
Yeah,
so all those places where I've been traipsing since, 86, covering the Terps. But he was a great basketball mind. He didn't talk about all this fluff and other garbage peripheral stuff during the broadcast. He broke it all down, whether you agree with him or not. Him and Lefty had some historic battles over the years, off the court, verbal jousting and whatnot. But another classic ACC guy, but led a great full life and great broadcaster.
Keith Cavanaugh, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, and I'll pick up my comp card about 2:30. See you guys then.
And hopefully we got that 5-star.
I'm telling you, we'll know by next week.
I'm not holding my breath. Keith, have a great weekend.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Keith.
Yep. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest coming up at noon. We'll talk about the Ravens' search for an offensive coordinator, which continues on. Where's the weekend money? We'll find out at 12:15. We're buy or sell. Are we spending some cash this weekend?
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
From the Nest, coming up top of the hour, talk about the Ravens. They need an offensive coordinator just like Maryland does. John Harbaugh have a better idea than Mike Locksley. We'll get into all of the candidates and what the needs and wants would be as the Ravens look to replace Greg Roman. Buy or sell, 12:15. Where's the cash? We'll find out then. Nate Davis talks NFL. with USA Today at 12:30. Preview the championship games with him. We're at Jones Bel Air Nissan here on this beautiful Friday. We're in Bel Air. Stop by, say hello. We are here until 2 o'clock. And, Vinny, before we get to the funhouse, Jones is doing some great things for the people today.
Oh, no question about it. We're here at Jones Bel Air Nissan, and we're cutting deals. And when we're here, me and Haney, you get special deals because you know what? We get the owner involved. We get Steve Zale, the sales manager, involved. We get them all involved. So if you come down here now between 10 and 2, I can promise you I will get Brian Kilby personally and Steve, and we'll twist that arm, and you're going to get the deal of a lifetime. So come on down.
All right, let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how you doing back at the station?
Doing good. Feels empty in here. It's quiet. Too quiet.
Well, you're by yourself.
Well, I know. That's a joke.
Well, but, you know. That's how you normally are, aren't you?
That's right. Doing good. Doing good, though.
How was the off day?
It was good.
I know it wasn't for a great occasion,
right.
But it was an off day nonetheless.
Well, you know, it's funny. You're talking to the family yesterday, my cousins. We're always talking sports, Orioles, Ravens, whatever. And with the Orioles, you know, this was before the trade went down yesterday. I was saying, I don't know if they've done enough this offseason to kind of take that next step, or at the very least stay the same. You know, can you really rely on what the bullpen did last year or the pitching staff did last year? A couple hours later, the trade comes through, and I love this trade. A lefty to get, we talked about it earlier in the offseason, to get a lefty pitcher that comes at a premium. Plus you get a guy who's young, controllable years, even better. And I'm looking at his numbers for the entire year up until September. 3.35 ERA. Kind of fell off a cliff there in the final month of the season, maybe a little fatigued. But up until that point, phenomenal. And was going at least five innings every time. You know, he's not one of those guys that's going to go out there, only give you two or three innings and get shelled. And even if he does get beat up, he'll power through.
Well, Nolan McGraw likes the trade. Cole Irvin coming over from Oakland. He's cheap. And is he Barry Zito? No. But is he an upgrade theoretically over Jordan Lyles in regards to being that innings eater? He does have interesting splits where lefties hit like 290 off of him and righties hit 230. Doesn't give up a lot of home runs, which is a good thing. Maybe he benefits from that deep left field wall like everyone else did last year. All right, quick draw. Thank you for the baseball analysis. Let's hear what the people have to say. Funhouse.
Quick draws. Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry, one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, give them a call today. 443-348-8812.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start here. You know, a lot of fans, Ravens fans, probably sick of hearing about the Bengals. Don't like another team in your division succeeding this much. Texter here, though, points out, says, I don't really mind the Bengals, to be honest. Kind of like Joe Burrow. I think it's just unfortunate that he's a competitor in the AFC North. My thing mainly, or my gripe with them, is their logo, actually. Don't like the B logo on the field. What's the deal? Got to go back to the old school Tiger on the field and the helmet.
I don't disagree with that. You know, I like, you know, do I like the white uniforms? And I like the tradition, what they used to be, you know, when Chris Collinsworth and Boomer were playing.
Yeah, I mean, they've tweaked them, and the tweakage is to take more color out of them.
Right.
And the B, I mean, I'm a boring guy. I like the helmets they wore back in the 70s where it just had Bengals on the side. So it's nitpicking, though. But why is he likable and everybody hated Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, I could think of until Joe Burrow
has a
scandal.
Before allegations.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody hated him pretty much since he took over day one. It's a fascinating question that even I can't answer.
This one here from Steve has got a trade proposal. Says, everyone knows in the NFL you can't keep everyone on these super teams together. How would you feel about a potential trade with Cincinnati? The Ravens send their first overall pick and Patrick Queen for a guy like T. Higgins.
Number one, I don't think that the Bengals, you know, would want to trade in the division, especially given the Ravens T. Higgins and helping them out. So I don't think that would happen. But you know what? to get quality, you got to give quality. That's the thing. You know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, like these callers call in, Norm, and, you know, they're saying, well, you could get T. Higgins for a fifth. You know, give him our fifth-round pick. Right. You know, I mean, they don't do – that would be a realistic – the problem is with T. Higgins, here's the thing is, you know, I think that's probably too much to give if you just gave the first-round pick, because then you got to pay him, too.
Right, I do give Steve credit there. The compensation was more than fair. You're right, the typical caller, typical texter, they'll give him away right for nothing. And we'll close with this one here. Patrick, talking about Billy Packer, rest in peace, says, nobody like him and Bones McKinney on the airwaves today. As a student, I remember attending the Drizzell Packer shoot-off at Cole Fieldhouse.
Oh, they had a little dust-up there because Lefty played at Duke and Billy played at Wake Forest. I believe Bones McKinney may have been his coach when he was a college player. Who won? I don't remember who won that thing, but when Billy was with the Raycom and C.D. Chesley, blah, 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 I never got the impression that he hated Maryland. A lot of people did. I think whatever game the team that was losing, square like everybody, all the Ravens fans think Collinsworth hates Baltimore. I never got that.
No, I don't feel that.
He was a little overzealous with the Patrick Mahomes re-airing smooching last week, but the Ravens had nothing to do with that. But yeah, Lefty, I remember Billy Packer telling me after they lost to NC State in the ACC tournament, and Maryland was the fourth ranked team in the country, but that was only one bid in each league, and Maryland ranked number four, didn't even go to the tournament,
right?
And they had won the NIT 2 years earlier, and Len Elmore said they did a vote where we've already won this thing. And they were seniors too. We're like, we're done. This is how we're going to end our career. And Billy said he went up to Lefty and he said, Lefty's not a guy that you kind of confront. And Lefty had like tears in his eyes and he goes, we're not playing. We're done. Then that was it. And if Maryland would have beat NC State, the number one team in the country wouldn't have went to the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
How about that wild, wacky stuff? Then the next year they expanded the field. They called it the Maryland Rule. It's Vinny and Haney. See, I learn you people from time to time. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We're going to learn about the Ravens' search for an OC because we don't know the answer to that one, but we're going to talk about it next. Then it's Buy or Sell, Where's the Cake? And Nate Davis, USA Today, will preview the championship games with him. And Frank Reich gets the Carolina job. Is there an issue there?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.